The GAO says the Air Force really messed up on the KCX competition. American Airlines offers details on its capacity cuts. And Frontier plans to downsize by 17%. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, June 27, 2008. The U.S. Government Accountability Office's audit of the U.S. Air Force's KCX tanker contract competition has been released in complete form. The Washington Post has reviewed it in detail. The paper reports the GAO charges the process was, quote, undermined by a number of prejudicial errors that call into question the Air Force's decision, unquote. Boeing complained to the GAO that its 767-based bid better matched what the Air Force requested, yet it lost to a larger, costlier plane based on an Airbus A330 proposed by Northrop Grumman and Eads. The Air Force shot back that it had conducted an incredibly open and transparent process, leading to that February 29th contract award, and chose the better option for both taxpayers and warfighters. But the GAO report suggests the Air Force may have screwed this one up even worse than its infamous 2003 tanker procurement scandal. In that one, a contract award to Boeing was overturned, and a top Air Force officer and a Boeing exec both went to prison. Specifically, the GAO says Air Force officials miscalculated maintenance costs, failed to follow their own evaluation process, and misled Boeing on the prospects for its offering while giving Northrop extra time and inside tips to touch up areas in which its bid might be deficient. The ball is now in the Air Force's court. The service is not bound by law to rebid the contract yet again, but in light of the tone of the GAO report, it may be bound by politics. American Airlines provided detail Wednesday on how deeply it will cut capacity in its attempt to, quote, reduce costs and create a more sustainable supply and demand balance in today's high fuel cost environment, unquote. American says it will cut 28 mainline and 34 American Eagle flights in Chicago, 8 mainline and 35 connector flights at St. Louis, and 19 mainline and 23 American Eagle flights from its base at Dallas-Fort Worth. The cutbacks are part of American's previously announced plans to trim mainline capacity by 11-12% and regional service by as much as 11% from levels in the fourth quarter of 2007. American also announced in May it planned to end service completely from Oakland, California and London Stansted. On Wednesday, it added Barranquilla, Colombia to the list of airports it will no longer serve. American Eagle will end service to Albany, Providence, Harrisburg, San Luis Obispo, and Samana, Dominican Republic. In an odd twist, American says its reduction of 42 flights at New York LaGuardia will help lessen congestion and delays there, and urged the FAA to force other airlines to also cut flights at LaGuardia until next-gen air traffic control and other capacity improvements come online. The tactic looks suspiciously like a backdoor call for regulation to protect American from losing market share. Bankrupt Frontier Airlines Wednesday announced cuts even deeper than those announced by American, United, and Continental recently. Frontier, which is based in Denver, said 17% of its capacity will be trimmed, along with a proportional reduction in its workforce. The airline says it now plans to sell 11 of its Airbus planes, up from the 4 announced earlier this year. The Associated Press reports the airline has about 6,000 employees, but has not yet offered specifics on how many will be furloughed. Frontier CEO Sean Menke said the moves were difficult, but needed to deal with record fuel prices and a slowing economy. Frontier's Chapter 11 bankruptcy filing in April came suddenly after credit card processor First Data Corp said it would begin keeping up to 100% of proceeds from ticket sales in reserve until passengers completed their flights. The move left Frontier in an immediate cash flow crunch. Frontier and First Data have since agreed to new terms, but neither side has released any details. Virgin Group Chairman Sir Richard Branson has never been shy about controversy, but he may have alienated many of his colleagues with his comments Tuesday at the Global Humanitarian Forum in Geneva. The Associated Press reports Branson said airlines should agree to pay for their greenhouse gas emissions and volunteered to make Virgin Group the first. Quote, if you run a dirty business, an airline business, a shipping business, coal business, you should pay for the privilege because you are doing damage, unquote. Abdul Gayoom, president of the Maldives, said his nation's 1,200 islands in the Indian Ocean could be submerged if ocean levels rise due to global warming. He suggested some of the proceeds from aviation-related carbon offsets should be distributed to small nations like his. Former United Nations chief and current forum president Kofi Annan thinks that's a great idea. Quote, "We must recognize that the polluter must pay, and not the poor and vulnerable. We must have climate justice," unquote. I know, let's not even start. Although I will admit to being curious why a country that's underwater would need money. Up next on ANN, a rising chorus asks Congress to do something about the plight of the airlines. NASA bulks up the Ares 5. And just how bad is a TSA screener's job? You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for June 27, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. A few weeks ago, retired American Airlines Chairman Bob Crandall called for the U.S. government to get involved in the current aviation industry crisis. Crandall stopped short of calling for a return to full-on industry regulation, pre-1978 style, but some other industry voices aren't being so reserved. The Christian Science Monitor reports a variety of specific ideas have been offered by industry execs and analysts, but there is agreement that Washington and the two presidential candidates need to take action now to avert an airline industry collapse. And Crandall is among them. Quote, "Unless something is done to move towards some kind of fix, we're going to see every one of our major airlines in bankruptcy. If that isn't enough of a crisis to alert everybody, then I don't know what it will take," unquote. Aside from the general negative impact on the economy of airlines cutting back or collapsing, a Business Travel Coalition study estimates that 100 regional and 50 major airports nationwide will lose some or all of their air service by the end of the year. Some industry observers want federal regulation to make a comeback, but in general, the airlines don't want that. Representatives of the major carriers urged Congress this week instead to act against oil speculators, who some believe have played a major role in spiking oil prices. David Castlevetter of the Air Transport Association admits that's a short-term measure. Quote, "In the long term, we'd like to see the modernization of the air traffic control system so we can continue to find ways to reduce our fuel burn," unquote. Analyst Michael Boyd invokes a popular metaphor in arguing against any attempt to reimpose regulation. Quote, "Once you let that camel's nose in the tent, it's going to set up housekeeping. Deregulation has worked okay, and the airlines will adjust to these oil prices. We can get through this," unquote. By the way, I discussed Crandall's thoughts on re-regulation with Bob Poole of the Reason Foundation in the Thursday Aero News special feature. If you're not already an RSS subscriber, find it under Aerocasts at www.aero-news.net. Okay, humor me for a minute on this next one. I want you to put yourself in the shoes of an airport screener. Come on, it should be easy. After all, you already had to take your shoes off. Well, anyway, you don't make a lot of money. You've been passed over for promotion in favor of coworkers you think are less qualified. And the passengers you screen hate you. And that's when they're not trying to smuggle dangerous stuff past you. This little exercise should take the surprise out of word that a controversial 29-page report released this week by Homeland Security Department Inspector General Richard Skinner finds morale within the TSA is low. What may still raise eyebrows, however, is his conclusion that we're less safe as a result. USA Today reports Skinner interviewed screeners at 8 airports across the nation. All the screeners interviewed had previously filed complaints against the TSA. 50% are unhappy with their working environment. Some accuse TSA of nepotism and discrimination. Others are bummed out by high turnover rates and even injuries at checkpoints. They also fear retribution if they take their concerns to senior officials or even to the agency's supposedly impartial third-party ombudsman. Other studies have found similar issues, but Skinner's is the first to link low morale to reduced focus on the job, resulting in compromised security. TSA Chief Kip Hawley says Skinner focused only on disgruntled screeners. Quote, "This results in flawed conclusions," unquote. TSA Deputy Administrator Gail Rossides claims morale is very good, and screeners are very much turned on and focused on security. Quote, We have areas to improve upon, but we also have made great strides, unquote. One survey from the Department of Homeland Security, released earlier this year, found that 94% of screeners said their work was important, but only 20% said promotions are based on merit, not connections. NASA recently conducted a 9-month design review of the rocket that will one day return U.S. astronauts to the moon and eventually will take them to Mars. In response to findings of that study, Wednesday, NASA unveiled an Ares V rocket on steroids. The Associated Press reports the new version of Ares is 20 feet longer, now has 6 main engines instead of 5, and twin solid rocket boosters made larger to hold more fuel. The changes allow heavier payloads with Mars in mind. NASA says the upgraded Ares V will be able to haul over 156,000 pounds of cargo. Though comparable in size and scope with the mammoth Saturn V rocket that carried Apollo astronauts to the moon in the 60s, there is a fundamental difference with Ares V. It will not carry people, just their supplies and the lunar lander. The four-man crew will ride in the Orion space capsule atop the smaller Ares I rocket, then rendezvous with the departure stage containing equipment launched on board the larger rocket. The two-step design allows more equipment to be sent to the moon or Mars. Constellation Program Manager Jeff Hanley told reporters Wednesday NASA remains on track for a manned lunar mission by 2020. Time to touch up that resume and get in gear. NASA's application deadline for the 2009 astronaut candidate class is July 1st. You could be chosen to participate in long-duration stays on the International Space Station or even missions to the moon. You'll need at least a bachelor's degree in engineering, science, or math and 3 years of relevant professional experience. Typically, successful applicants also have significant qualifications in engineering or science or extensive experience flying high-performance jet aircraft. Teaching experience, including K-12, also counts as a qualification. NASA will announce final selections in early 2009, and if you're chosen, you'll report to NASA's Johnson Space Center in Houston next summer to begin basic training. Still ahead, bad news for airlines could be good news for leasing companies. Looks like Mars suffered a strike by a huge object at one time. And the Airbus A400M becomes a 20-year-old debutante. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, June 27th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. When the stock market tanks, you can buy good companies cheap. When there's a housing crash, many people can finally afford their first homes. And when airlines need new planes but can't afford to buy them, it's an opportunity for leasing companies. Bloomberg reports International Lease Finance Corporation, the world's largest airline lessor, may soon order a total of 300 narrow-body planes from Boeing and Airbus for the sole purpose of offering leases to airlines that may have to cancel their own new orders. The announcement may come during next month's Farnborough International Air Show in England. ILFC President John Pluger believes manufacturers could see their order backlogs shrink as cancellations roll in, making it a good time to be buying. Quote, "A stressed marketplace provides us with a lot of opportunities, maybe buying some airplanes at reduced cost," unquote. Analyst Nick Cunningham with Evolution Securities says average order discounts run about 30%, and at anything over 50%, plane makers start losing money. He says Boeing and Airbus would likely consider such steep discounts only in absolute desperation, with a more realistic expectation being between 30 and 40% off list. But desperation could still happen. About 24 airlines worldwide have filed for bankruptcy or otherwise cut their operations this year. JetBlue Airways and others have already announced they're deferring deliveries of new aircraft. Ever since NASA spacecraft started sending the first detailed pictures of Mars back to Earth in the 1970s, scientists have wondered why the planet's two hemispheres are so different. The northern hemisphere basin of Mars is one of the smoothest surfaces found in the solar system. The southern hemisphere is high, rough, heavily cratered terrain, ranging from 2 to 5 miles higher in elevation than the basin floor. Well, new analysis of the terrain using observations from NASA's Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter and the Mars Global Surveyor now suggest the northern basin is the remains of a colossal impact early in the solar system's formation, with an object 1,200 miles in diameter. It would be the biggest impact site seen anywhere in the solar system. Michael Meyer, the Mars chief scientist at NASA headquarters in Washington, says the discovery has implications not only for the evolution of early Mars, but also for early Earth's formation. The Airbus A400M, the first all-new military airlifter produced in over 30 years, made its first public appearance Thursday at the production line in Seville, Spain. On hand were customers, journalists, politicians, and His Majesty Juan Carlos of Spain. Airbus says the A400M will introduce a new set of standards to a market dominated for 30 years by the Lockheed C-130. 192 orders have been taken from Belgium, France, Germany, Luxembourg, Malaysia, South Africa, Spain, Turkey, and the UK. The plane has been in development for 20 years and repeatedly delayed. Airbus CEO Thomas Enders concedes the first flight now won't happen till late summer or early fall. The A400M is optimized for logistic and tactical operations and capable of transporting payloads up to 37 tons over distances of up to 4,700 nautical miles. The company says it offers twice the capability of the aircraft it will replace, as well as enhanced interoperability in international humanitarian and peacekeeping missions. And finally, those of you flying Delta Airlines to AirVenture this year can get a head start on an Oshkosh tradition. Among four new beer offerings on board Delta flights worldwide is Leinenkugel's Sunset Wheat. It's the first craft beer to be offered by Delta, and it's made by Wisconsin's own Jacob Leinenkugel Brewing Company. Many Oshkosh regulars are familiar with Liney's. The Chippewa Falls-based brewery has been in business for 141 years and even has a fan club called the Liney Lodge, made up of over 200,000 members from across the U.S. So relax, enjoy, smile, and try to forget that you just paid $25 for that second checked bag. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is veteran airline pilot and aviation career counselor Karen Kahn. We'll talk about ab initio training, what it is, how it differs between the U.S. and Europe, and who makes the best candidates for it. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.